This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place, whether you're in the mood to celebrate the music of a Louisiana jazz artist, see a Pulitzer Prize-winning drama by Tennessee Williams featuring an African-American cast, or hear about the latest release from the New Orleans folk band Hooray for the Riff Raff. It's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi. I'm your host, Diane Mack. Composer Jerome Theriault is a Louisiana native and near-lifelong musician who didn't start seriously writing music until after being diagnosed with aggressive bone cancer in late 2010. Now he's got two new CDs of his work and plans to record another two CDs worth of material. WWNO's Fred Kasten has the story.
Jerome Theriault grew up in Byrd, Louisiana, near Houma, about an hour southwest of New Orleans.
I was about five years old, and I heard Stevie Wonder play the harmonica on some records and some old New Orleans R&B stuff. Ernie Cato, Irma Thomas, Fast Domino. That's the first music I really heard, plus some Motown stuff. I knew almost right away when I listened to that stuff, particularly New Orleans stuff. I was so intrigued by it, I knew that I wanted to do something in music.
Jerome Theriault took up alto sax in the fifth grade.
My dad played when he was a kid, and he had an old horn. And like I say, you know, listen to all those old R&B New Orleans things. Yeah, I heard the sax a lot, so I knew that was the instrument.
In his teen years, Jerome and his brothers started putting together bands.
We had all kind of garage bands. We had a guy, Tab Benoit. He was our guitar player. We played all kinds of goofy music I didn't really dig, but we had a good time doing it.
Now, were you playing just stuff that was popular on the radio at the time?
Yeah, that kind of thing. But on the side, I was working, my junior and senior year of high school, I was working with, starting to get on the horn and work with, like, you know, some R&B bands, too.
Oh, yeah.
Around this area, yeah. Right.
In college, first at Nicholls State in Thibodaux, then at Southeastern Louisiana in Hammond, Jerome Theriault started listening pretty seriously to jazz.
Checking out Weather Report, and then later Miles and Cannonball. Lots of Cannonball. I don't think he was my hero.
Theriault loved jazz, but opportunities to play it in Thibodaux and Hammond were limited.
I really didn't make that step, you know, to really go to the city, and that's where all the jazz was happening, you know. And sometimes I regret it, and, you know, other times, man, you know, I made some pretty good change teaching and you know, just playing, you know, the wedding gigs around here and stuff. But sometimes I wish that I'd taken that extra step.
The next step Jerome Theriault did take was into the service.
Not long after I got out of college, I realized, well, I need to make some money. So I joined the Navy. I was in the Navy band for about 7 years.
A good 7 years, as it turned out, including tours of duty in New Orleans and Italy. Then back to civilian life in Louisiana.
Played about 2 years on Bourbon Street. I played a couple casinos, did some society band things during the Mardi Gras season. And then I I got lucky. Somebody said, hey, we need this person to travel around and teach some of the gifted and talented kids around here. And it was a great job. You know, I loved it. It wasn't a classroom thing where I always had to, you know, deal with big classes. And it was a good job. Oh, I did that in about 10 years. Yeah. And then simultaneously, I mean, just I had a pretty good situation. I had a keyboard gig. I played a restaurant for about 10 years. And then I still had my saxophone gig. So, I mean, I was pretty busy.
For a decade, that was Jerome Theriault's life. Teaching in the Talented and Gifted program in Terrebonne Parish, playing music nights and weekends, writing the occasional piece, doing a bit of arranging. Then, in November 2010...
I had some jaw issues and some pain, and I, you know, just found out I had bone cancer, you know. I went to MD Anderson in Houston. I took the whole ball of wax, man. There's nothing ain't in Chiomi, pretty much.
Are you still getting treatment there, or are you getting?
No, now I'm at I'm in New Orleans. Fine team of doctors. They're really excellent. Dr. Gertler, Dr. Padman over in Metairie. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they're doing everything they can. They're great people.
One unexpected creative side effect of Terrio's battle with cancer was a newfound compulsion to compose.
After I got through the really rough parts, I mean, that was a part, I mean, I couldn't do anything. But when I settled back home, and, you know, I was making the occasional trips to Houston once a month, yeah, I sat at the piano and just started coming up with things, you know. And my dream was that I was going to get cured and be able to play that sax again, see. But that didn't transpire. Then I had all these tunes, and what I would do with them now, you know.
So you, as you're writing, you're envisioning that you'll be able to.
Oh yeah, I was going on. My whole thing was, you know, man, you know, I'm finally going to chase it down. If I get past this, I'm going to get on the horn, get really serious, try and get a once a month gig somewhere in the city where I could build myself and work my way up. And that was what I originally intended, but you know that didn't happen.
Fate dealt another hand.
Exactly.
Jerome Terrio started looking for other players to record his music. He had a couple of dozen tunes by then, and got in touch with New Orleans pianist, arranger, and producer Larry Siebert.
I wanted a band, and you know when I found Larry, of course I had known Larry from gigs I had seen. I'd seen him playing the Funky Bud, you know, the Prowling Connection, places like that, and. So I called him up. He didn't know me, and he said, "Look, I could put a band to get you together and do this stuff." And man, he put together the band, the sessions. He made some venues to show my material off, and I was just wow. It was a godsend.
Siebert hired top New Orleans musicians: saxophonist Rex Gregory, bassman Peter Harris and Roland Guerin, drummers Simon Lott and Michael Skinkus. To record the 16 Jerome Terrio tunes on a CD that came out last year, Jay's Dream.
It was just off the top, you know, so I was grinning from ear to ear when I heard my stuff played that way.
The title tune, Jay's Dream, is a beautiful, poignant, evocative ballad.
That's one of those tunes, a couple tunes I couldn't sleep at night, and I just sat down at the piano and it kind of came to me in a spiritual type of way, you know, I didn't work very hard at it. I mean, the initial, I don't know what you call it, motive, you know, just came to me, and it kind of wrote itself, you know.
Thursday night at Snook Harbor, Jerome Terrio and the Larry Siebert Quintet will celebrate the release of the second of a planned series of four CDs of Terrio tunes, this one titled Old Times.
If I got to go in a wheelchair, I'm going to be there, man. Nothing's going to stop me.
Berg, Louisiana composer Jerome Terrio. The shows at Snook Harbor Thursday night are at 8 and 10. For 89.9 WWNO, I'm Fred Kasten.
You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO. I'm Diane Mack. The Anthony Bean Community Theater opens its 14th season with a Tennessee Williams classic, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, the Pulitzer Prize-winning drama set in the Mississippi Delta on a cotton plantation during the 1950s, features an African-American cast. It stars local personalities, including TV weatherman Damon Singleton in a debut role, and former Orleans Parish School Board President Gail Glapion. It is directed by two-time Big Easy Award winner Tommy Myrick. And joining me to talk about one of Tennessee Williams' best-known works are cast members Gail Glapion and theater newcomer Alfred Aubrey. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Hi, thank Hello. You.
What will an African-American cast bring to this Southern classic?
An understanding that the critical human issues are raceless, that persons of all backgrounds have issues that Cat on a Hot Tin Roof addresses, and in fact, most of Tennessee Williams' works address. There are issues of, during that time, homosexuality. Not as much now. You can certainly see a contrast of thinking. But in the black community, that continues to be an issue. Issues of alcoholism, issues of mental illness, all of these are human concerns and issues that, as I said earlier, raceless. And so a black cast doing a play that addresses many of the issues that we continue to face, even in 2014, doesn't make it so unusual. But it is different, and I think that certainly with the directing of Tommy Marek, we're going to see a different point of view.
Let's set the stage now. The play deals with a young man's descent into alcoholism following the death of a college friend. Now, the family bands together to help him stop drinking so he can take over his dying father's plantation. Alfred, you are Big Daddy, and Gail, Big Mama.
When I read the script, it touched me because I remember my father, when I was in high school, I was checking out. My father's time was limited on this earth. But he was trying to get me to check back in because there were things that were important that I didn't see at that time. But looking back, I can identify in this play, Big Daddy, knowing even though he's gotten a clean bill of health, something's up, and he's wanting his son to check back in. And that right there was the impetus for me to... I have to do this.
Big Mama also believes strongly that in order to deal with the dark places, as she describes it, in the home, they must love each other and they must stick close together despite the dark places in their lives at the time, especially dealing with Brick and ultimately her discovering that Big Daddy really was with cancer.
And Damon Singleton plays your son Brick. Any surprises there?
People are probably going to be very surprised. This is his debut. He's good. He has been able to capture this sullen, alcoholic, drunk in such a smooth, cool way that he's very convincing.
Now, Alfred, while some may find an African-American cast a stretch for this drama, you say not really. Why?
As I was reading the script in the first act, Maggie's talking about Moon Lake. My mother was born 15 miles west of Moon Lake. I closed my eyes and I can see the land that they were talking about, the cotton fields. In the Delta, there's a lot of cotton fields and soybean, miles and miles and miles. But the fact of the matter is, in that area, there were certain affluent black families. So it's not a stretch to have us there. It's just that most people, when you think of the Delta, you think of sharecroppers and white farmers. But there were some. My family was one of those affluent families. So it wasn't a stretch for me. That was another reason why I said, yeah, let me do this. I can kind of give a little something that I know about, because what I'm bringing is an accent that I know because I grew up this way. Even fished on Moon Lake. And we'll leave it at that.
About to get into Big Daddy.
Thank you guys so much.
Well, thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
We certainly
hope folk are going to come out.
Gail Glavion and Alfred Aubrey. Tennessee Williams' Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, directed by Tommy Myrick, is currently running at the Anthony Bean Community Theater, 1333 South Carrollton Avenue, corner of Willow Street. Performances run Thursday through Sunday. More info at anthonybeantheater.com. Alinda Lee Segarra is a young singer-songwriter with a soulful American roots sound. She's a native New Yorker who fell in love with New Orleans and the city's rich musical heritage, jazz, blues, and funk. Segarra's band is Hooray for the Riff Raff. Their new record, Small Town Heroes, pays tribute to New Orleans, and NPR's Debbie Elliott came to town recently to meet them.
St. Mark Blues, take two.
Alinda. Linda Lee Segarra has gathered some friends and musicians, the Riff Raff, in the Erie Chapel on the grounds of the St. Rock Cemetery.
People are dying.
Here, beneath the benevolent gaze of a statue of St. Rock, the patron saint of dogs, invalids, and bachelors, she's recording a video for the song St. Rock Blues.
And I keep on crying.
Hooray for the Riff Raff gained international attention after the album Lookout Mama in 2012, and the buzz surrounding this latest record is even bigger. Not yet 27, Segarra already seems an old soul. She grew up in the Bronx but left home at 17 and wandered around the country hitchhiking and riding rails before being drawn to stay put in New Orleans. She takes me down the tree-lined street in front of the cemetery.
This is St. Rock. This is where the neighborhood I lived in for a long time. This is kind of where I first settled down when I decided I wanted to live in New Orleans. And I lived on Music Street, actually.
We pass colorfully painted shotgun houses, long, narrow homes with a straight line, open shot from front to back door. Like much of New Orleans, there's renovation underway, but also signs of disrepair and poverty. St. Rock is a neighborhood that struggles with crime. Segarra recalls a rash of home break-ins and murders a few years ago.
It was the first time I really felt close to the violence in New Orleans. I think it really changed just the way I wanted to write songs.
I've seen so many.
That time period also taught me a lot about community and a lot about people getting together and taking care of each other and the strength of New Orleans.
Segarra has a tiny frame and big, dark eyes that hint of her stirring voice. Her musical career started on the streets of the French Quarter, busking for tips from tourists in a loose-knit collaboration called the Dead Man Street Orchestra. She played the washboard and sang.
At first, I was learning a lot of Bessie Smith songs and Ma Rainey, a lot of, like, blues women. And that was really good because it taught me to project because I had to sing on the street.
She's moved up from washboard and now plays bass drum, banjo, and guitar. She's also fine-tuned her sound.
I realized that I loved microphones and that I didn't really want to have to project, that wasn't really what I loved about singing. So once I started playing more in clubs, I started learning a lot more classic country songs and kind of found my voice through that, learning like Loretta Lynn stuff and Hank Williams Sr. songs. That really helped me find my niche more, I'd say.
She was the queen. She got all her drugs for free. She walked up to her daddy's door. He said, you don't live here anymore. She wanted love, wanted love. Oh, but she just couldn't get enough.
That's the title track from Small Town Heroes. The record covers a lot of musical ground, from stripped-down country to bluegrass to doo-wop. Segarra says Hooray for the Riff Raff aims to unite outcasts, mixing different worlds into their own. The result is a modern take on traditional storytelling.
Said you're gonna shoot me down, put my body in the river. Shoot me down, put my body in the river while the whole world sings. Sing it like a song. The whole world sings like there's nothing going wrong. He shot her down, he put her body in the river. He covered her up, but I went to get her and I said...
The song The Body Electric shows how Segura is developing her political voice. It's her feminist retort to the classic murder ballad.
Over the years, they've started to turn into more of a controversial, kind of like detached way of songwriting that's really macho and has a lot to do with just like, well, I killed that girl because she cheated on me or something, you know? And one day it just kind of struck me that I felt like I wanted a woman... to become a part of the conversation.
Tell me what's a man with a rifle in his hand gonna do for his daughter when it's her turn to go?
Hooray for the Riff Raff has toured with Alabama Shakes and Amos Lee. Soon the band will headline its own tour to promote Small Town Heroes and will be back home in New Orleans for Jazz Fest this spring. But don't expect Delinda Lee Segura to stay in one place too long.
I definitely think even when I'm at home, I seem to be going somewhere all the time. But I felt like that ever since I was a little kid. That was kind of my happy place, was the journey, you know, not really like getting anywhere.
Way down by the river at the end.
Debbie Elliott, NPR News.
Way down by the river at the end of the line, I was looking for some friends of mine.
You can listen to Hooray for the Riff Raff's new album at npr.org. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at wwno.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go inside the arts. I'm Diane Mack.